It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
I love being introduced as a crew. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jerry Evans, and welcome to Explore Fairbanks, where we're talking everything tourism and exploring Fairbanks in the Golden Heart City. Joining me in the studio, a couple very special guests. I have with me the Marketing and Public Relations Manager for Fountainhead Development, Inc., Karen Wilkin. Welcome, Karen.
Hi.
And also joining Karen and myself, we have the director of the Fountainhead Antique Auto Museum, Willie Vinton. Hey, Willie.
How are we doing today?
We're doing good.
Good.
Now, it's funny when we talk about Fountainhead, because it's not just a one thing. Fountainhead has a huge umbrella, and underneath Fountainhead Development is a lot of stuff. Three hotels, the Wedgwood Resort, Sophie Station Suites, the Bear Lodge, a couple restaurants and lounges in those places. And, of course, one of the coolest things is the Fountainhead Auto Museum. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to make sure Willie was here. We're going to talk about all those other things in a little bit, but we want to take advantage of the fact that Willie is in here in the studio. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I hate the term hidden gem, but people use it all the time, and it's misused and it's overused. However, I think it's a perfect way to describe this unassuming building in an unassuming area of an unassuming town that houses one of the finest auto museums, not only in the United States, but around the world. And one of the people that we have to thank for that is sitting with us, Willie Vinton.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and it is. It's a hidden gem.
Yeah.
But we try not to keep it hidden. We try to put it out to the public. And it is a fantastic thing to visit.
Right. Now, I've been there, you know. I'm there all the time because I'm bringing writers and journalists and friends and family. So I have to describe what the Fountainhead Auto Museum is, but I'm guessing you would do a better job.
Well, we're a living auto museum, which kind of separates us from a lot of the museums around the country. We go back to 1898, and we go up through World War II. All early rare cars. We don't do commodity cars, so you don't see the standard Chevys and Fords and whatnot in there. We like cars that you don't see every day, and no foreign cars, and it's just pretty spectacular when you see what's there. Right now, we've got 85 on the floor.
Okay.
And there's 8 on the floor that are the only ones that exist in the world.
Right, and when you say these are the kind of cars you see every day, some of them are the kind that nobody sees unless they come to the Fountainhead Auto Museum. How many are unique and one-of-a-kind at Fountainhead, do you think?
I've got 8 sole survivors. Okay. I've got 2 that were the only ones that were ever built. And one is the first 4-cylinder car in America. So that's pretty special.
Yeah.
You know? But we have a whole lot of things besides cars. You know, we have our fashion clothing. Mannequins, wax mannequins. Some of that stuff goes back into the 1860s.
Right. Now, when you say auto museum, there are some people that go there and assume that's all they're going to see. I call it it's a three-headed beast.
Right.
Because you have the automobiles, which are awesome into their own. You have the costuming that goes along with the automobiles. And for an old-school photographer like myself, the photos up around there, I could spend, and you know, I spend hours in there. I could just go around and looking at a couple photos or looking at the videos.
Right. And the cars are set by era. So you progressively go through. You see the time changes. You see the progression of the technology that was going on all the way up through when they get into the times when they're using wind tunnels for design.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the whole gamut of the automobile. Clothing's the same thing. And
wind tunnels?
Yeah. They,
wind
they,
tunnels
yeah.
with fashion?
What was the gal's name that, you know, skirt
Marilyn Monroe?
Marilyn Monroe, yeah. But the clothing is all matched with the cars by the date.
Right.
And Connie, shout out to Connie,
yeah.
she replaces the clothing with the cars, and they never clash for color.
Now, as we're talking about the Fountainhead Auto Museum, and we're on KFAR radio, of course, people can listen to it around the world, but we're talking about to local Fairbanksons. And I have to tell you, if you have not been to the Fountainhead Auto Museum for some reason, or if it's been a while, trust me, you owe it to yourself to go, because I'm not a car person. I came to the game kind of late on the Fountainhead Auto Museum, to be completely honest. It had been around for a while. I'm like, well, I'm not really, you know, that much into automobiles or races or any of that kind of stuff. But I went, and it blew me away. I could literally spend a half an hour walking around almost any one of the vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all unique, and it's pretty spectacular. And I mean, you can't harp on it enough, but people come in and are always amazed. And one of the questions I get all the time is like, why is this in Fairbanks?
Yeah, I bet.
Well, first of all, it's home. And then the other thing I always tell them is, if you look at any map of the U.S., every alley, street, or road leads you to Fairbanks.
That's right.
Where else would you go?
All the way north.
That's right. That's excellent. So, and we were talking off the air a little bit about automobiles and design, and you are a fan of saying there's nothing new in the automotive industry.
Nothing new.
So in your collection, you have electric vehicles that will have gone back how far?
The oldest electric we have is 1903. We've got a 1912 and a 1913. And we've also got a hybrid, you know, so the right. Prius is nothing new.
No.
Our hybrid is 1917. But it has a feature that no Prius has.
Which is?
It has a mom pedal.
For braking?
Yes.
Nice.
When mom said slow down, by golly, you did.
You're going to slow down.
But that's in the passenger seat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was probably realistically for a salesman demonstrating the car.
Right,
because it's a whole new concept. But they didn't catch on because they were too expensive.
So there is a little bit of controversy now with electric vehicles because of the ability to be able to charge them. I'm guessing when this first electric vehicle came out, obviously fewer places to charge it. And I'm guessing the charge didn't last as long either.
Well, when you think about it, you go back to that time, very few people in the cities had electricity.
Right.
And so they had to have a charger of their own in the carriage house. Cars had to be home every night, but they would run about 70, 75 miles on a charge.
Okay. That's more than I would have thought.
Yeah. It wasn't that bad. And if you come over there, you'll see we are actually building up a real original charger in the shop there.
Okay, to charge one of these electric vehicles.
Yeah, so it's kind of unique to see that. But yeah, the death of electric cars was the same with steam cars. You know, when Kettering came out with the electric starter for gas engines, now anybody could start a car and drive it and didn't have to hand crank them.
Right, and speaking of hand cranks, you still have some of the vehicles in your living museum that use the hand cranks,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Now, if I remember a story correctly from a few years ago, there's a gentleman that didn't have the easiest time hand cranking, correct?
Yes.
And what happened to him?
He broke his arm.
Because these things, they have that much of a kick to them?
Well, you got to remember the steps.
Uh-huh.
And you have to retard the spark before you start cranking the engine.
Right.
Because sometimes if it's advanced, it's going to kick back.
Okay.
And so you have to learn proper cranking technique. And I won't mention Jeff's name, but that does happen.
I would bet anything Jeff now knows proper cranking technique.
Absolutely.
Probably.
Absolutely.
And that's a perfect segue to just giving a shout out to the docents and our very passionate, amazing staff that works there. We call them the pit crew.
Yep.
And they know the steps. They work with Willie very well, and they're just incredible. And Tuesdays are Docent Tuesdays, and Willie feeds them pizza at lunch. But they're the ones that do the dusting, and they're on the floor and giving giving great tours for people that are just coming in.
Well, that's another great thing about the Fountainhead Auto Museum is that, I mean, you have placards up. You can learn a lot whether you're talking to you or one of the other folks there. You can pick up all this stuff, and you can learn a lot about the vehicles just by walking around and reading the placards. But it's when you get shown around by you or one of your coworkers or helpers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And these guys are really knowledgeable because at first, Willie Vinton was the only person I wanted to hear from because I know he knew these vehicles inside and out. And someone says, oh, you should talk to someone. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I start talking to this guy and then one-armed Jeff and a few of these other people. And before you know it, I'm realizing these guys know their stuff.
They do. They do. They have learned so much. And some of them started, they loved cars, but they really didn't know and understand the old cars.
Right.
And so over time, they've all learned, and they've done a lot of research and study. And if you ask them a question, if they don't have the answer, they'll go find it.
Right.
Well, and that's what's amazing is our museum is USA, everything USA made.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
So, and so, as a marketing professional, looking at the 80 car companies that were in the 1920s, 1910s, like 1930s, like that's just amazing to me, and it's absolutely like what a joy and a gem.
Oh, it's such a great thing to have in our community. So. I want to talk money two different ways because, one, okay. Let's look at some of these old vehicles, like the top-of-the-line ones. And underneath, let me ask you this. At the time that they were created, what was the most expensive vehicle that you have on the floor right now?
A 1921 Hein Velox.
Okay. And how much was that during that time?
$21,000.
Now, people go, oh, that's... But back then, what could because you've done the research, what could $21,000 buy you instead of that one vehicle?
In 1921, you could go to almost any city in the U.S., $1,000 would buy a home. So that kind of tells you how it was. It was built in San Francisco, and they only built 4.5 cars.
4.5?
They never finished the fifth car.
Okay.
And so this is the first car they built. And it's the only open car they built. And kind of a neat car to look at.
Well, they were all neat cars to look at in one way or another. So so that vehicle is the equivalent of purchasing that or 20 houses.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So that's.
But your entire house doesn't look like Louis Vuitton on the inside.
No, it does not.
Like,
no.
It's tan and it's this great brown color, and the top drops off, and you got trunks in the back. It's beautiful. Yeah.
So here's the other money question I want to ask you. Okay, that's during those times, and that's impressive and puts it into perspective. But I know you don't like to talk about what the everything is worth at the auto museum. But maybe pick one or two of the vehicles that maybe you know what they might be worth or people have been willing to purchase from you for a certain amount.
Well, we have a couple cars that I purchased this last year that were appraised before we bought them. And one was at $1.3 million, one was at $1.5 million. And so it has nothing to do with what I paid for them.
Right.
But it just... tells you what they're probably worth today. There's several cars in here that you would bring $1.5 million on a bad auction day.
And one of our best cars is the preservation car, the Hudson, which is, you hate this, but I call it a rusty bucket.
Oh,
but
that hurts.
But it's awesome, and it's better preserved as it is than if it were to be all shiny and beautiful.
Right, so it's unrestored.
It's unrestored.
Okay.
Still runs beautifully. It's the oldest all-original unrestored running Hudson in the world.
Jeez.
And people ask all the time, are you going to restore that? And I said, now think about this. Today it's worth $80,000 to $90,000 as it sits. If I spend $150,000, $175,000 to restore it, it's going to be a $40,000 car.
Right, right.
My math is not real good, but it's okay.
I mean, you are a mathlete, okay. A little bit.
So we part of the show here, Explore Fairbanks, and again, for those of you that might just be tuning in, I'm with Karen Wilcombe from Fountainhead Development, as well as the director of the Fountainhead Antique Auto Museum, which I just gravitate towards, Willie Vinton. So it's great to have you in here. So we talk about the visitor industry on this show, and of course, we're telling all the local people they need to get out there and see it, but this is really a go-to place for visitors, and there have been people that the only reason they come to Fairbanks, although they might discover some great stuff afterwards, but their main reason for coming to Fairbanks is visiting that auto museum.
Absolutely. We get a lot of people from foreign countries come here because somebody that they knew were here found this, went back, and told them about it and said, you have to go. And so, yeah, we see a lot of people from different countries. Australia's really big. New Zealand's big that way. And we had a busload of people from England that came over the other day. And they spend almost the entire day in there, you know.
And then come back the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's spectacular. And if you haven't been in for a year or two, you need to come in and see what's changed.
Oh, it's always changed.
Always changing.
I always, whenever I bring a guest in or a family member, something like that, one of my big things is, okay, what is your favorite costume car combination? Because the way that they're matched up is so cool. But unfortunately, sometimes I'll go in to show them my favorite, and it's moved
gone.
Or it's changed, it's gone, because you guys keep rotating things, which leads you to believe you can't just see it once.
Right. And the challenge today with the clothing is come in and find the Titanic dress.
Oh.
Yeah.
There was a dress that was on the Titanic?
No.
No.
That was
designed
with that in mind for that movie.
Yeah.
James Cameron and their design team, we have that dress.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's so...
And see, you haven't been there to see it.
Yeah, no, but you know I'm coming back.
I'll give you a hint. It's magenta and black.
There.
And she might have tried to jump off the back in the movie.
A little bit of a spoiler alert. We're talking Fountainhead Auto Museum. Now, obviously, you guys didn't open up as this. Okay, now we have 90 running vehicles. How did this whole thing start and get to this point that it's at now?
Well, this is a passion for Tim Cerny. He wanted to build an auto museum, small scale to start with, and now it's kind of got out of control, you know? and it's kind of like, I jokingly say, when you sit in the boardroom and there's blueprints there, carry a pencil. You can move the lines, you know?
Right.
And so erase them and make new ones.
It's grown. It's grown. We're over 120 vehicles right now, in all but three run, drive, and get driven.
Right.
And so they can be rotated in. So you can go in there next week and you might see cars you didn't see last week.
That's another thing we talked about off air, is that there might be other auto museums that say, well, we can start these cars, but they don't actually do it or take them out. And that's a big part of your enjoyment and the uniqueness of this museum, is that they can run and they do run. And I've been in one of your vehicles when you've taken them out, but I've also seen it. And the look on people's faces when you drive by in one of those things is automatic smile.
Yeah.
So amazing. Willie drifted me in early spring a couple years ago in the Soul Survivor 1920 Argonne.
Yeah.
And just drifted me around, and
it was accidental.
You should have seen my face.
it was accidental.
Sure. Okay, so I got to ask this then. So what's the fastest you've ever got one of those vehicles up to that's in your museum?
Never over the speed limit.
Ever.
But
really?
maybe you know, I got my midget race cars.
Uh-huh.
I've had out on a paved racetrack, North Pole, and they're all capable of 100 mile an hour.
So that's what, okay. So
since
you're not going to admit that you speed, which I'm not believing, but then I'll ask it this way: which vehicle do you think can go the fastest in your collection?
Probably the 31 Duesenberg SJ.
I would have guessed Duesenberg.
130 mile an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And again, it's running, so there's a good chance if you could find a place to get it going that fast, you actually could.
Yeah.
We should close off some streets, Jerry. You should pull some strings.
And then you know how it is past Delta. There's that one strip of road that's just so straight.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By Donnelly Dome.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So, all right.
But yeah, we've got several cars over there that, you know, have been run on a racetrack before they were released. Check out our Marmon V16s. Before they put a body on them, they took them out on a track and ran them, and one's certified, I think, at 103 mile an hour.
Wow.
So you're essentially like a car personal trainer. You take them out for exercise.
Well, yeah, because, and I tell people all the time, when you look underneath the cars in a museum, if you see pads underneath them, they're ready to go, or they've been ran. And I always tell people they're like puppies.
Right.
You got to have them pads under because people get around, they get excited and dribble on the floor.
It's a little thing. You know? They get excited. Yeah.
There you go. Now, again, so much unique stuff about the Fountainhead Auto Museum. But one of the things is that it makes it almost sound like you're getting vehicles from other places. But a lot of these vehicles, I wouldn't say are homegrown, but their existence has been in Fairbanks and Alaska. And you have the stories to tell, whether it's with placards or photos, because to see some of these photos, probably the one in particular is one where this guy's in the mud where his wife is kind of angry sitting over on the side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea how they possibly could have got the vehicle that far, and I have no idea how they're going to get out.
Well, you know that if that was my wife sitting back there in the brush, I hope she's not listening, but she'd be sitting there with her arms folded and said, I told them they couldn't get through there. You know,
right?
And if I'm leaning on the car, I'm thinking to myself, had to go to town this week. Couldn't wait 2 weeks to drive. You know,
but we're talking about the history of some of these vehicles and the road and all the roadhouses. You got a great display from the roadhouses from Valdez up to Fairbanks area.
Yep, and we've got some cars that have been in Fairbanks since new, or not. Well, one in Fairbanks since new, actually two, and then I have one that was in McCarthy since new, and that was there in 1923, and then I have one of the earliest cars to survive the Valdez tsunami in 1964.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Again, for any of you in the Fairbanks area, if you've never been to the Fountainhead Auto Museum, I guarantee you're going to be blown away, and I honestly have to tell some writers that, some journalists, because that's, mm-hmm. you know, who I work with, who explore Fairbanks, and I bring them up here to write about. And I say, okay, here's the deal. I'm not a car museum guy, because some people are like, I don't know about auto museum. I'm like, trust me. Yeah. And they go in there, and they're blown away. You could almost do a Fountainhead Auto Museum commercial where you don't even show the cars. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is have a camera at the front door looking at the faces of the people that walk in, because they just light up.
Yep.
They're like, oh, my God.
That's what we say. Yeah. As soon as people walk through that door, they are just like, I belong here. I need to go look at this. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty about it. That's amazing.
Outstanding. Again, joining me, Willie Vinton and Karen Wilkham from Fountainhead and Fountainhead Auto Museum. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about what Fountainhead has to offer and some of the cool ways that people locally and otherwise can take advantage of it. We'll be back after this quick break.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
Looking for an unforgettable adventure in the heart of Fairbanks? Well, look no further than Fountainhead Hotels, your gateway to comfort, flavor, and history. From stunning grounds and natural trails to impeccable service, Fountainhead Hotels is where your Fairbanks journey begins. From fine dining at Zach's Restaurant and Lounge to the splendor of the amazing Antique Auto Museum, clean, spacious rooms where you can relax. That's Fountainhead Hotels. Your Fairbanks adventure begins with us. Find them online at fountainheadhotels.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
Yep, we're back with Explore Fairbanks. I'm Jerry Evans again, being joined in the studio with Karen Wilkin and Willie Vinton from Fountainhead and the Fountainhead Auto Museum. And I had a feeling this would probably happen. We had a half an hour to talk about everything Fountainhead, and I just locked right into the Auto Museum because that's what I usually do. But Karen,
it's what I do too.
Yeah,
usually
I know, right?
On a day-to-day
right?
basis.
And you've been with Fountainhead for a while. So again, Fountainhead is started out just, if I'm not mistaken, with Sophie Station Suites, correct?
Wedgwood, Sophie Station Suites during the pipeline era. Yep. And then we, so we're all suites. They were apartments.
Right.
And yeah, so then we just, our properties are situated all over town. And we've been here forever, and we're locally owned and independent.
Right,
we're not
and,
flagged,
that's, and that's huge. And I should point out, I mentioned much earlier, but the Wedgwood Resort, Sophie Station Suites, and the seasonal Bear Lodge.
Yes,
which
Bear
is
Lodge.
More of a traditional hotel thing, but in the summertime for the visitors that are here for a very short period of time, that's kind of what they need and want.
Yeah, and so we do a lot of tour business out of Bear Lodge. Also, we open it up at certain times, like we sponsored the Junior National Ski Tournament and in March. And so when we had a big influx in tourism in March that was kind of unexpected this past year. So we were open and available. And also in the summertime, we have spaces to roam. We have these beautiful grounds that our groundskeepers do an amazing job at keeping up with the flowers and vegetables and everything. And then we have nature trails in the Wedgwood Sanctuary as well. And we're neighbors with Kramer's Field.
Right. And the attention to detail that you see in the Auto Museum also goes for the grounds at Fountainhead. Now, I wanted to talk real quickly since this show deals with tourism and that type of stuff, that you guys kind of run the gamut of visitors, because at the Fountainhead development locations, I've seen big tour buses, I've seen independent travelers, locals, statewide travelers, and even contractors. So let me ask you this. How do you see Fountainhead visitors interacting with and benefiting Fairbanks potentially and Fairbanks businesses?
Yeah. I mean, we're 100% locally owned and operated. So you come to the front desk or you ask Willie or me or anybody that's working, we'll tell you exactly where to go. We'll tell you about Hoodoo Brewing Company. And we'll tell you about like Blue Roof Cafe, Bistro, and Bankstown, where you can rent bikes, and or maybe Trax Outdoor Center, where you can rent the skis and just experience winter, summer, and everything in between with us.
Great organization. You guys are always doing great work, and I have a feeling you'll be expanding somewhere in the future, not just at the Fountainhead Auto Museum. I want to thank Karen Wilkin and Willie Vinton from Fountainhead and the Fountainhead Antique Auto Museum for joining us today. You've been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio. For more information, log on to explorefairbanks.com. Now, to listen to this or any other past shows, log into KFAR Archives at KFAR.com. This has been a presentation of Last Frontier Media Active.
You have been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the Archives page. Explore Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.